Whether you're a pro athlete, exhausted parent, or spend all day in an office chair, CBDMD wants to give you the support you need to make it through the day. CBD Freeze and Recover are an outstanding duo of topical products with specialized formulas to provide targeted relief where it matters most. And to make it even easier to try Freeze, Recover, and every other CBDMD product, you can take 25% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, that's CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 25% off your purchase of superior CBD products from CBDMD.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the FanSided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy Timberwolves game day. Today, I want to cover a few quick-hitting Wolves notes off the top. The injury report, some changes there. Ryan Saunders talked a little bit about Karl-Anthony Towns' status. Also, some news on the Malik Beasley front related to his off-the-court legal troubles that he's in. And then I want to spend some time talking about the Wolves' offensive issues to this point in the season, something I wrote about at Dunking with Wolves. And I want to kind of dive into some of the underlying numbers what the numbers suggest, really, the underlying issues that the numbers are suggesting with the Timberwolves offense specifically this year. We've talked a lot about the defense, but the offense deserves as much, if not more, of the blame for the 6-18 start. And then I want to finish by taking a peek at tonight's game, Wolves-Clippers. The Wolves haven't seen the Clippers since game four of the season, and I want to catch up to what the Clippers have been up to, their injury issues. One of their stars won't be playing in this game, and what the Wolves' chances are this evening against the Clippers. First, though, a quick reminder, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you like to get your podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at LockedOnTWolves. That's at LockedOnTWolves. Don't forget the T, and also my Twitter account is at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into some quick hitting notes here off the top. Won't spend a ton of time on it, but want to make sure everybody's caught up with what the most recent Timberwolves news is. So the injury report for Wednesday looks just like it has recently. So Karl-Anthony Towns listed as doubtful, D'Angelo Russell listed as questionable, and then also Jarrett Culver listed as out for this game due to the sprained ankle. Related to Karl-Anthony Towns, there was just a little bit of information from Ryan Saunders that he stated, let's see, this was according to John Krasinski of The Athletic. This is a direct quote from Ryan Saunders. Saunders said, Towns has really been able to push himself. The medical group is trying to simulate certain stints during a game, the stop and go, and what that might feel like with his lungs. And, Krasinski says that the Wolves are trying to get him, try to see how his lungs respond to, quote, high intensity work. So obviously returning from COVID-19, it affects everybody differently. There's tons of concerns with that. The way that it can affect the respiratory system and the way that, obviously that athletes need to be conditioned to play NBA basketball. It's going to take some time. Remember, Ricky Rubio had COVID-19 over the summer reportedly, and it's taken some time for him to get his conditioning back, and not to mention such a weird lead into the season, the truncated training camp, the shorter preseason as well. So none of that's really a surprise. And it makes sense that the Wolves are being cautious with him. Remember, Juancho Hernan Gomez was active for four games before he saw the floor, and they kept listing him as questionable due to the post health and safety protocol reconditioning. As of now, they're still listing Towns as doubtful due to health and safety protocols, but clearly he's cleared those protocols. He's been on the bench the entirety of the last road trip. So it's conditioning more than anything, related obviously to the COVID-19 diagnosis. And then Russell's injury, I incorrectly stated on Tuesday's show that he had re-injured that quadriceps. It was his right quad that's been giving him trouble. And it was a left leg injury, left leg soreness is what the Wolves are calling it, that makes him questionable for Wednesday's game against the Clippers. And then also out Jarrett Culver with the ankle sprain. He hasn't played in a couple of weeks, and there hasn't really been an update on his status. Of course, with Jalen Noel playing so well off the bench, the Wolves aren't likely to rush Culver back at this stage in his recovery. So The real update there, I guess, is the Towns conditioning thing, and also that Russell's injury is different than what I had originally stated that it was. And I think it was at the time fair to assume it was a re-injury of the same injury he'd been on when we knew it was a leg injury, the same issue that had been giving him trouble. But it sounds like now he's got a little bit of an issue in both legs. So Russell's questionable. Towns is doubtful. Culver is out for Wednesday's game. And then also finally, I think it's important to update this. Not much to say on it. Certainly, I don't want to, you know, dive too deeply into it, but Malik Beasley did receive his sentence on Tuesday from his violence charge from the fall. Remember, he had pleaded guilty to making threats of violence with reckless disregard to risk in the incident where he allegedly threatened a family with a weapon outside of his home. He did get a 120-day sentence that can be opted into home confinement, and he can serve it after the season. What we now need to find out is whether or not the league will discipline Beasley and suspend him for any amount of time. Certainly wouldn't be a surprise if they did, but he does not need to serve a sentence until after the season. There's also quite a bit of probation, some pretty strict probation terms as part of the sentencing. So you can go ahead. Star Tribune had it covered really well. So go ahead if you want to read the details on that. Paul Walsh at the Star Tribune actually wrote about some of the details of the plea agreement and the sentencing. So go check that out if you're interested in more. But basically, the Wolves related side of it is the team will now wait to see if the league suspends Beasley or disciplines him in any way beyond what the court system has done. And then he'll have to serve this probation for the next, I believe, 3 years. And then the 120-day sentence either in the Hennepin County Workhouse with work release or a home confinement following the season. So obviously, we'll update any league news on that, but that's all there is on the legal front. It seems to be over with in terms of the court system, and you know, we'll see what happens from a league perspective. But it sounds like at this point in time, Beasley should be available for the near term as the league probably parses through, you know, everything that happened from a legal perspective. So that will be kind of hanging over the Wolves' head here until the league decides what they're going to do with it. All right, next up, I want to talk about the Wolves' offense, some of the issues within the offense, the numbers that show what those problems are and why this year is so different than last year, and why in some ways it's not in terms of the Wolves' offense. So before we do that, though, let's talk about 1010. This episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, in Style Magazine, or Forbes. We're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're ready to mark a special commitment or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings is now available exclusively at BlueNile.com. We're covering everything you need to know about the Minnesota Timberwolves here at Locked On Wolves, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's a brand new podcast hosted by the great Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's talk about the differences between this year's Timberwolves team and last year's team, and really, specifically, the offense and the problems there. Clearly, the Timberwolves have been a poor defensive team. We knew that they would be. They're 25th in the league, which I understand is awful. It's bottom five, but it's better than the offense. The offensive rating for the Timberwolves is 27th. Overall, the Wolves still have the league's worst net rating, by the way. And last year, the Wolves also disappointed offensively last year, but think about how differently the roster looked at the start of the year versus the end of the year. Karl-Anthony Towns only played in half the games, but the Wolves finished last year 24th in the league in offensive rating. So far this year, they're 27th. And they were worse than that until recently, really until Monday's game. When I wrote this article, before the Wolves' most recent loss to Dallas, the Timberwolves' rank in offensive rating was actually 29th. So their game Monday and then some other games across the league bumped them up to 27th, but they've been bottom three or four really all season long. One of the biggest issues for the Timberwolves is free throw attempts. Last year, the Wolves were third in the NBA in free throw attempts per game, 25.4 free throw attempts per game. This year, they're averaging only 20 free throw attempts per game. That's 28th in the entire NBA. So they went from third in the league to 28th in the league in free throw attempts. And their percentage is that much worse, which means that the Wolves aren't just attempting less free throws per game, five and a half free throws less per game. They're making 4.1 fewer free throws per game compared to last season. That's 4 points right there. 4 points a game on free throw makes, that's just gone. That matters over the course of a season, obviously. I mean, the Wolves lost by what? They lost by two to the Cavs last week. They lost by three to the Spurs. They lost by two to the Thunder. All those games, you know, obviously there's lots of other factors, but that 4 points makes a difference. It's not insignificant, certainly. Individually, Karl Anthony Towns draws a ton of fouls and gets the free throw line a lot, and actually was doing that at a career best rate in his four games so far this year. Over the past four seasons of his career, he's averaged 5.6 free throw attempts per game. So it matters not having him on the court. That's a huge reason for that, or that's a huge reason that plays into the team as a whole not attempting as many free throws, certainly. However, look at some of the top players last year individually in drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line for the Wolves in terms of free throw rate, which is the number of free throws attempted per field goals attempted. This surprised me. Jeff Teague actually led last year's team. Now, he only played in 34 games before he was traded to Atlanta, but he had a free throw rate of 0.444, which means it basically 45% of the time that he attempted a field goal, he was getting to the free throw line. Karl Anthony Towns was next. Juancho Hernan Gomez was next in just 14 games. Noah Vonleh, Jalen Noel, Kade Bates Diop, and Shabazz Napier all had free throw rates of above 0.3. This year, there's only four players. So, I mean, you talk over the course of the season last year, Teague, Towns, Hernan Gomez, Vonleh, Noel, Kade Bates Diop, Napier. That's seven players. Most of them played partial years with the Timberwolves, ranging from 14 games for Juancho to 37 games for Bates Diop, which somehow he's the guy who played in the most games of those seven players in a Wolves uniform. This year, there's only four Timberwolves averaging more than 0.3 free throws per field goal attempt. Jared Vanderbilt leads the way because he barely ever shoots. Karl Anthony Towns in just four games is next. Ricky Rubio and Josh Okogie are the only ones over a 0.3 free throw rate individually. Vanderbilt only attempts 4.5 field goals per game. So, I mean, he doesn't impact that number. He doesn't impact the overall team free throw rate very much at all. Towns has played in only four games. Rubio and Okogie don't shoot the ball that much either. So you're talking about the highest usage players, D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, to a lesser extent, well now really Jalen Noel is quickly entering that conversation. Those guys aren't drawing fouls at the rate that they should be. Part of that is the way that those guys play, and that's baked in a little bit. I mean, you shift your number one offensive focal point from Towns, who's operating in the post, in the pick and roll, offensive rebounds, places where he's more likely to draw fouls, to your offensive focal point being D'Angelo Russell, who only attempts about 10% of his shots from within 3 feet of the rim. He's going to draw less fouls. And that's part of his game. We know that. I'm not saying he should be attempting seven free throws a game. That's not D'Angelo Russell's game. And we know that. But Malik Beasley has been doing a little bit more of getting into the paint recently than he did earlier in the season, or he has previously in his career. Jalen Noel loves the mid-range and is comfortable outside the arc, doesn't get to the rim a ton. But again, last year he did okay drawing fouls. 0.321 was his free throw rate in 15 games. So that's something I think Noel can improve. He's got enough size that he can, you know, his build at least, not in terms of his height, but he's only 6'4", but his build is such that he should be able to take some contact. He's athletic enough. He should be able to be effective in the paint. Obviously, part of that is scheme too, and the Wolves don't run a ton of stuff where they're not running tons of back cuts for lobs at the rim. They're not. Other than Anthony Edwards, they don't run a lot of isolation sets. And Edwards' free throw rate is going up. And I've talked about this before. Part of that isn't his fault. He's mostly being aggressive, except for those flat-footed threes he shoots 2-3 of a game. If he could cut that shot out, he'd be a lot more efficient. And I'm going to keep harping on that until it happens. But when he gets into the paint, he can finish through contact. He can be effective at the rim, but he's not getting foul calls. He has been more lately, and so I would expect his free throw rate to climb as he goes throughout his rookie season. The other thing which is related to this is the Wolves' inability to convert shots at the rim. The Wolves are 27th in the league in shooting percentage within 10 feet of the basket. They're only making 53.7% of their attempts within 10 feet. That's crazy. The good thing is that they're getting a lot of shot attempts in that space, which is also crazy because I just listed these high usage players who are comfortable shooting from the perimeter, much more comfortable shooting from the perimeter, and Russell, Beasley, Noel. but 47% of the Wolves' shots are coming from within 10 feet of the rim, and they're making under 54% of them, which means that you've got guys with really bad individual shooting percentages close to the basket. Jared Vanderbilt, Ed Davis has had some bad luck down there this year, and I think that's swinging back the other way now. He's been a little bit better of late. But the guys who are shooting the ball at the basket aren't making them. And again, that's another area where Towns will lift that percentage. He'll draw more fouls. He'll be more efficient at the rim than some of these other players. So there's been some bad luck. There's been some lack of whistles, but also a lot of bad misses. And we've seen that throughout the season. And then the last point is three-point shooting accuracy, which is maybe the most obvious thing. The Wolves are only 17th in three-point attempts per game this year, but they're 28th in percentage. Last year, they attempted threes at a much higher rate, and they made them at a higher rate. The problem isn't necessarily the Wolves' best players. D'Angelo Russell is shooting 39% from three, which would be a career best for him if it held up over the course of the season. Beasley's at he's north of 38% now. Let me pull up the updated number here. Malik Beasley's at 38.5%. D'Angelo Russell's at 39.9%. So basically 40%, which would easily be a career high for him if it held up. And they're not the problems. The problems are everybody else. Jarrett Culver, Josh Okogie, Ricky Rubio. Those guys are all, believe it or not, tracking at career worst marks. And coming into Monday's game, they combined to shoot 31 for 135 beyond the arc. That's 23%. Individually, Rubio's at 19.4%. He actually made two threes the other night. Culver's at 25.8% in the season. Josh Okogie made one the other night. He's at 20%. So that number's total up a little bit from that 23% going into the game in Dallas. But you can't have your main role players in Okogie, Culver, Rubio. Those guys can't combine to shoot 25% or worse from three. It's just not an option if you want to have a good offense. So, and the scary thing is that Russell and Beasley may be in for some regression. I think Beasley's probably about where he'll finish, but Russell's going to regress a little bit in terms of his three-point percentage, and the Wolves are going to need to hand some possessions, or Karl Anthony Towns is going to get plenty of opportunity himself once he gets back on the court to help lift that total or that team shooting percentage from outside the arc on his own, and I think he will make a big difference once he gets back as well. So free throw rate, finishing at the rim, and three-point percentage are all issues. And then in addition to free throw rate, it's actually making the free throws, which is the second piece of that, obviously. And I guess it's most important they get to the line, and then next most important that they actually make the shots once they get there. So those have been the biggest issues. Some of that scheme, and that's something else we can dive into, and the way that the Wolves are getting their shots. But Karl-Anthony Towns will lift all three of those areas by himself a significant amount. The problem is that this team hasn't found a way to consistently compete even without Karl-Anthony Towns on the court. And obviously it's been a little better lately, but the offense at times has just been nearly unwatchable. And that's definitely a concern. All right, let's talk Wolves Clippers. First though, let's talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. I've talked a lot about really getting into BetOnline.ag myself lately, and I had a ton of Super Bowl prop bets on the board that did okay. Definitely going to be looking at NBA action throughout the rest of this week and weekend, and listening to the Locked On Bets podcast, by the way, to make sure that I'm placing my bets in the right place. You can head to the website betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Again, the promo code to get your 50% welcome bonus is Locked On. BetOnline.ag. Receive your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code Locked On. We're within really just over a month from March Madness, but the future of the NBA is on display right now. Get a head start on next year's draft analysis by subscribing to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast. Draft guru Chad Ford has his first Big Board of the Year out with profiles of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Suggs, Evan Mobley, and more. Subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast wherever you get podcasts. And by the way, I mean, with the way things are going, there's, I don't know, 40% chance if the Wolves finish in the bottom three that they're still going to get a top three draft pick. And so the Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs dream can live on. As scary and dangerous of a game as this is that the Wolves are playing with their with their pick that they owe the Warriors this year, there's a chance that one of those guys could be in a Timberwolves uniform next year alongside Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, and others. So definitely subscribe to Chad Ford's NBA Big Board. All right, let's talk Wolves Clippers. So the Wolves played the Clippers last, the fourth game of the season. This was, of course, two games after Karl Anthony Towns injured his wrist. The Wolves were 2-1 entering the game. The Clippers were 2-1 entering the game. And it wasn't close. The Wolves were, they hung in there early, but the second quarter was a blowout. The Clippers outscored the Wolves 37-21 in the second quarter. Minnesota only really had good games from D'Angelo Russell, had 22 points on 19 shots, made four threes in the game, four assists, two steals, three rebounds. Malik Beasley had 19 on 16 shots. Jarrett Culver shot 0-for-10, led the Wolves with 10 rebounds in this game. It was just a weird game from him. This was Rubio's highest scoring game of the year. So the Wolves actually started Rubio, Russell, Beasley with Culver and Naz Reid in this game. So Culver was your starting four. Beasley was your starting three. Rubio and Russell in the backcourt with no Towns in this game. And remember, Juancho Hernangómez, Jake Layman both got off to really rough starts to the season. So the Wolves tried this lineup out. Rubio actually had his high scoring game of the season, had 17 points, five assists, made a couple of threes, 6 of 8 shooting for Rubio, one of his better games of the season. By halftime, the Wolves were already down by 20 points. And going into the fourth quarter, they're down 29. They won the fourth quarter by 6, ended up losing the game by 23. It just was never really competitive. Looking at the Clippers' season so far, it's important to note, Paul George is out for this game. He missed the last two games. He's also out for their two-game road trip. So the Clippers have lost 3 of 4, but 2 of those games, Paul George didn't play in. And 2 of the losses were the Celtics and Nets. So excusable losses, to be sure. Before that, though, they'd won 11 of 12 with a relatively healthy lineup, and they're still 17-8. They're right at the top of the Western Conference, so still one of the league's best teams. But without Paul George, the offense entirely revolves around Kawhi Leonard and then Lou Williams coming off the bench, who's obviously still really, really good. The Clippers will do anything. They'll play whatever way you want to play. They're mostly going to play a slower pace. They're comfortable playing a faster pace if they need to. Kawhi Leonard will push if he's got the ball in his hands, but he's also totally fine to slow it down, operate in the half court, usually out of the pick and roll. They don't run very many off ball or plays to get Leonard shots, right? He's usually operating in pick and roll or in isolation and loves being in the mid post. They'll probably have 5, 6, 7 possessions a game where he operates in the mid post and can turn and shoot a mid range jumper, can get closer to the basket or distribute to his teammates. And, he's really good from the mid-range. The Clippers as a team are 4th in the league in field goal attempts per game from the 15 to 19 foot range. So, and that's a lot of Lou Williams and it's a lot of Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi's really good from that space on the floor too. If you look at 16 feet out to the 3-point line, Kawhi Leonard shoots 15% of his shots in that range, and he's a 46.6% shooter from that range. He also shoots a quarter of his shots from the 10 to 16 foot range, from basically that mid-post area. And he's 41% from there, which isn't great, but it's good enough to obviously hold, keep a defense honest. Curious to see how the Wolves defend him. I think Josh Okogie will get the assignment, but Kawhi's got such a size advantage on Okogie that I'd be curious to see if the Wolves stick Jaden McDaniels on him and just see what happens. Not envious of Jaden McDaniels to get the assignment potentially of guarding Kawhi Leonard, but he's obviously the best match in terms of size and athleticism. And he's shown he has the chops defensively to compete in this league. But Kawhi could obviously get him into foul trouble quickly. He's Kawhi Leonard, right? So he should be able to have his way with almost any team. So sticking a rookie on him might be ill-advised, but I also think it's at the same time the Wolves' best chance to slow him down. And again, he really is the Clippers' offense. Otherwise, you've got Lou Williams coming off the bench and he's going to do some damage, but nobody else on this team gets consistent shot attempts. And, there's really no one else that you need to be too concerned with game planning for. Now, you may recall that the first time these teams played, Kawhi Leonard actually was out and Paul George played and had 18 points in 29 minutes. And it was just kind of fairly easy going for the Clippers. But outside of Lou Williams, outside of Kawhi Leonard, they've got a few guys who can pick up slack if they need to. Obviously, they have Serge Ibaka, Luke Kennard, Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris has been really good off the bench recently. And it's just a really deep team that the Clippers have. So with no Paul George, obviously that makes a big difference. There's also a chance that Patrick Beverley doesn't play. Of course, the Wolves may not have D'Angelo Russell either. So it's unclear what this matchup's really going to look like given some of these injuries. I'm assuming Carl Anthony Towns isn't going to play, listed as doubtful. But the Wolves need to, and this goes without saying, they can't give up 43 points in the first quarter for a third consecutive game or anything close to that. So they need to compete defensively early. Maybe this is the game Jaden McDaniels gets the start, you know, his first career start. I don't know that I would do that against Kawhi Leonard, even though I think he ends up guarding Leonard for a good chunk of the game. But the Wolves need to be competitive in the first quarter to stay in this game early and then give themselves a shot down the stretch of D'Angelo Russell or more likely Malik Beasley, you know, getting hot and keeping the Wolves in the game on the offensive end. But it's all going to start with competing defensively. And that's something that, for the most part, the Wolves have done a better job of this year, but not recently and certainly not in transition. Thankfully, the Clippers aren't going to try and push the pace too much. But like I said a minute ago, they certainly can if they want to. They've got, you know, enough guys who can do damage in the open floor, whether that's Lou Williams, you know, pushing the pace or Kawhi Leonard pushing the pace. But with no Paul George, there's at least that element's missing a little bit from this team. And that should help the Timberwolves, who, of course, do want to play fast and use as many possessions as possible. All right, we'll have a post-game pod after today's game. So pay attention to that. It'll be in your feed early, probably middle of the night, early Thursday. So be sure to check out the post-game podcast. And then on Friday, of course, we'll look ahead to the weekend and talk about the upcoming trade deadline. We're only like 6 weeks away now from the trade deadline. So what the Wolves may be looking ahead at doing and some options that could be out there. I want to start that conversation here as I think it'll be a rapidly shifting market, rapidly shifting conversation around the trade deadline. It just, in the past few days now, players who signed free agent contracts are eligible to be traded. And so trade season really has officially started at this point. So I definitely want to get into those conversations here sooner rather than later. That's all we have for today, though. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast. Of course, part of the Locked On podcast network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow on Spotify. If you're so inclined, please help out with a review on iTunes. That definitely helps us in a lot of ways. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T, and also at B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.